Okay, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. It's nice to see so many faces that I've seen before. In case I'm just meeting you here tonight for the first time, my name is Bruno Anthony, and I'm from Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America, and I do not have an accent. You do have an accent, okay? Let's get that clear right off the bat. I hope you all have one of these little handouts here with you, okay? And if you have been with us the past few nights, you know why you have a handout. If you have not been, the reason why you have a handout is because I believe that when you listen to the Word of God, if God speaks, then you should write stuff down. And I believe oftentimes we hear the Word of God and we hear messages from God, but because we don't write it down, we forget. And every one of us knows a time when God spoke to us and we heard a great sermon, but then we have no idea what it was about because we don't write stuff down. So I believe that if God speaks, then we write stuff down. So, whether you agree with me or don't agree with me, you have to play along for the rest of tonight, but don't worry, I'm leaving tomorrow. You can go back to never writing down and never remembering anything that God told you ever again if you're that grumpy a person. Okay. What we are talking about here tonight is actually the culmination of something that I began speaking about at the beginning of this week. If anyone doesn't have a handout, raise your hand, and this nice man will come to you. Okay? Yeah, over in that direction. What we're going to talk about here tonight is the culmination of something that I began speaking about on Sunday night. What we've been talking about is how the devil wants to possess our lives through our minds. And just a brief recap of what we talked about on Sunday and last night for those who weren't in attendance. The Bible talks about the demons as possessing people very, very regularly. And the Bible always talks about how people were demon-possessed and demon-possessed and demon-possessed. And the question that I wanted to, that I asked myself, is do the devils and do the demons possess us still to this day? Like, is there such a thing as demon possession today? And is it something that's common here in Canada or in America or wherever it is? Or is it something that was just restricted to the times of the Bible? Well, I think you'll all agree with me that the devil isn't any less active today than he was back then. And if he was possessing people back then, he's certainly possessing people again or as well these days, but it just looks in a little different shape. The devil is always working, but because he's sharp, he doesn't always work in the same way, and in fact, he usually works in different ways. Now the demons don't possess us by making us foam at the mouth, making us speak in funny languages. The demons possess us through our mind and through getting us to think ungodly and untrue thoughts. What we've been talking about is how we need to set ourselves free. And we're going to see that tonight, how to be set free. And the only way to do so is to put on the mind of Christ. Because believe me, if the devil wants to take over your life, he isn't going to come to you, you know, with fangs and like saliva stuff. He's going to come to you with thoughts. Innocent thoughts. Simple thoughts. But false thoughts. And those false thoughts, like we talked about last night, can become strongholds. And a stronghold, like we discussed last night, is a place where the devil, just like the name sounds, a stronghold is where the devil starts to build a fortress. You know, like in Monopoly, you know when you play Monopoly, and I got Park Place, and then I got Boardwalk, and then what do I start to do? Start to build. Start to build. Start to build. That's what the devil does. The devil just wants to sneak into Park Place with a thought. And he just wants to get, and then while he's there, no one's looking, take over Boardwalk while he's at it. And then once he's got hold of a couple places inside your head, he's got a monopoly on the way you think about this relationship, or the way you think about this materialistic need, or the way you look at this person, or this aspect of your life. Once he's got that, then he starts to build. Starts to build. Starts to build an empire. And that's why what we discussed last night is we need to demolish those strongholds. We need to identify the strongholds, and we need to demolish them. We need to attack them. I cannot allow the devil just to sit comfortably sipping on his tea inside my thoughts and inside my mind. Because he's an enemy, and he's trying to get me. So I got to declare war on this guy, or else he's going to mess me up. That's what we discussed last night. Now, before we get into tonight's topic, I'm going to do something that is going to make you think I'm crazy. We're going to play a little game. Actually, it's not a game. It's kind of a game for me and someone, actually three people, tonight, among you, will be blessed significantly. Three people from among you tonight will walk out of here with something very significant. Bear with me for 1 second. One of the things that I have been started doing recently, okay, when I go on these trips and I go visit different churches, okay, I really believe that I get blessed so much, okay, when I come and get a chance to serve in all these different churches. Especially, you guys have a wonderful group here in Montreal, St. Mary's Church, St. Mark's Church, St. George's Church. Really been touched by the love of the priests, by the love of all of you guys. Really been touched. And because I've really been touched, one of the things that I feel is like almost a duty for me is to give back to the people that have touched me so much. And of course, what I like to say is, okay, I'm going to pray for these people. I'm going to pray for them. But praying for someone is important. I'm not saying it's not important, but I want to put my money where my mouth is when I say I want some people to be blessed. Literally. One of the things in my life, I'm being open, I'm sharing in front of you. One of the things in my life, okay, me and my wife, we both used to be IT consultants. Okay, both used to work like computer programming. We used to make a pretty decent amount of money. I became a priest, okay, and she, you know, became a teacher, and then we eventually had babies, so she stopped being a teacher. So one area that God has always blessed us with, but it has been a struggle, is like financial, okay? Just like a personal thing, it's being honest with you, okay? And sometimes, like, I get, you know, like, worried that, like, as a husband, I'm not providing enough for my family financially. So that's sometimes a stronghold the devil gets in my life. But God is helping to set me free, and one of the things that he tells me to do, and I have to obey him, is to be generous with my money. He asked me to be generous with my money. So I'm going to be generous tonight in a very crazy, illogical way. I brought with me on this trip three American $50 bills. Three American $50 bills. And I coordinated with one of the servants here in this church tonight to take those three separate $50 bills in an envelope and stick them underneath pews here in the church. All in this middle section, because I figured people wouldn't be sitting on the outside. So what we're going to do in 1 minute, not right now, wait. We're going to do right now, in 1 minute, when I say ready, set, go. I know it sounds crazy, but I got to obey what God tells me. I got to obey what God tells me. When I say 1, 2, 3, you're all going to go. You're going to look under your chair, and three people are going to be very blessed. Now, some of the rules of the game. Okay? You're only allowed to grab what is under your chair. You are not allowed to grab under other people's chairs. You are not allowed to run to the empty spots. Okay? When I say go, three people are going to be very, very blessed. Ready, set, go. Gotcha! Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Are you think I've lost my mind? I got you! I got you! I didn't think that I would see 100, I got 100% of you. That was too much fun. If you know nothing about me, know two things about me. Number one, I like to joke, and number two, I'm the cheapest man alive. I would never do that. Our lesson for tonight, if you give me a click there. I don't know why it's dark like that. Our lesson for tonight, a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. Do you agree with that statement? Or do I need to make you look underneath the pews one more time? A lie, believed as truth, will affect your life as if it were actually true. 1 minute ago, I told you all a lie, a blatant, flat-out lie, which is the most untrue thing in the history of the universe. And it affected every single one of you. First of all, everyone woke up, and everyone was very eagerly listening to what I was saying, and then some of you were on hands and knees and patting under the seats in front of you and elbowing your neighbor. A lie, believed as truth, will affect your life as though it were true. Many people today have lies in their head. And if the devil is able to firmly plant a lie that is 100% false, but is planted in your head, it will affect your life as though it were true. It's the expression that says, perception is greater than reality. That's a true statement, and you don't realize how true it is until you see its effect in your life. From the very beginning, Peter, if you could give me a click there, if you don't mind. From the very beginning, God has been battling the devil, and each one of them, God versus devil, has certain weapons that they use over and over. Let's start with the devil. The devil's weapon in John chapter 8, verse 44. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil's greatest weapon is lies. This is his number one weapon. When the devil wants to attack you, he doesn't swing with muscles, he swings with lies. When the devil wanted to attack Adam and Eve, how did he attack Adam and Eve? With lies. When the devil wants to attack anyone, lies. When God wants to attack evil, what does God use? John chapter 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Devil's weapon is lies, God's weapon is truth. If you allow the devil to put lies inside your head and you do not combat them with truth, it will really mess you up in life. Look throughout history. Can't you just look back in history and see lies that people believed and the way it affected the world? People used to think the earth was flat. Is that truth or not truth? It's a lie. The earth is not flat. Did it affect people? Yeah, it affected people. Every time they got in a boat, they thought they were going to fall off the edge of the earth. Then everyone passed a certain line. Why? It affected the history of the world because of this lie that they believed. Hitler believed a lie. And you see how the world was affected by the lie that he believed and that he convinced others of as well. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as though it were true. I remember when I was a kid, when I was probably like 6th grade, 7th grade, so probably like 12, 13 years old, I used to walk to my elementary school. Like, we used to live in a house, and my parents used to drive me, then we moved to a new house. And once we moved to a new house, I was so close I could walk to the school. But in order to walk to the school, I had to cut, there was like a long way where you could take the roads and be about a 10-minute walk. Or you could cut through some backyards, and I could be there in about 4 minutes. So of course, that was the optimum route. But in order to get there, cutting through the backyards, I had to cut through this one guy's backyard that had, he owned a horse. Like, he owned a horse. And it was like his property was from the door to about here, and there was this little pathetic little wire fence. Okay, it was pretty pathetic. And we could see the horse over there, and we used to walk by the horse, and whatever, it's just a horse. Like, who cares? Until one day, Matthew Somerville came up to us in the class, and he said to us, "Didn't you hear? That horse ate a kid before." I said, "Really?" And a piece of me, Matthew Somerville was kind of a jokester, so is he joking, is he not joking? Whether or not it was true, that statement affected me. It affected the route that I took to school the rest of that year. And it affected the way I thought about going to school. I remember when I was really, really late and I had to go through that horse field. Man, I'm telling you, there was a lot of prayer. Like, boom, I sprint across there at 100 miles an hour because of the lie that affected my life. I'm telling you, some of you today are believing a lie that is stopping you from reaching where God wants you to be. God has a plan for you, and God has stuff for you, and God has a great thing for you, a rich and glorious inheritance. But because of a lie that the devil has convinced you of, it is hindering you from achieving what God wants you to achieve. A minute ago, you sat in your chairs, I told you a lie, it affected you. I'm telling you, if I can do that to you so easily, you gotta know that the devil can also do that to your life and really mess you up as well. How does the devil lie to us? How does the devil lie? The enemy, the devil, imitates what is good in order to offer what is evil. His greatest weapon is a lie, but the lie doesn't look like a lie. He imitates what is good in order to give us what is evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 14 says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Listen, like I said in the beginning, the way the devil fights these days, don't think that the spiritual warfare is the devil ringing your doorbell, sitting back patiently, and you open the door and you see a guy with the fangs and the pitchfork, and he's saying, "I'm coming to take over your life." No, thank you. That's not how it is. If that's how the devil attacked, that'd be easy. You'd see him out in the open. That's not how he attacks. He masquerades as an angel of light. He comes in the form of a friend. He comes in the form of an invitation. He comes in the form of a thought about your future, a good thought potentially to give you something good. He masquerades as an angel of light because he knows that if he appears in evil, no one will accept him. So he always appears as what is good. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." How does the devil deceive us from the simplicity that is in Christ? Just like he did with Eve. What did Eve want? What did Eve want? Like when the devil came to Eve and offered her the apple, told her to eat of the tree, what did she want? She wanted, okay, he came to her and said, "You eat this, you can be like God. You eat this, you can be like God." Is being like God a bad thing? It doesn't seem like a bad thing, it seems like a good thing. "You eat this, you can be like God." He came as an angel of light. And he masqueraded as an angel of light, something that appears good. But what he didn't tell her is that if you eat this, he said, "If you eat this, you become like God." What he didn't say is, "If you eat this, you will die." So often in life, we want something, and the devil deceives us to take something else. How many times we long for companionship, depth, in a relationship with another human being, intimacy in a right kind of way. What does he sell us? Sex. Physical activities. I want security. I want peace. Peace of mind. He sells me, makes me settle for just the appearance of looking good in front of others. I want to grow close to God. I want to be close to God. I want to be pleasing to God. That's what I want. He deceives me and sells me on, just look good in front of other people and cut your losses. See how he works? Masquerades as an angel of light. We need to strive for this mind of Christ. That is our goal. And in order to achieve the mind of Christ, just like I told you all last night and the night before, we need to go through some biblical steps to put on the mind of Christ. And the first one that I cannot stress enough is we must learn to recognize the enemy's lies. recognize the enemy's lies. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that, key word in this verse, seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If Eve heard that verse today, and Adam heard that verse today, they'd say, amen, Lord, amen. There's a way that seems right, but its end is the way of death. I'll give you right now three common areas that the devil lies to you and will lie and lie and lie. That these are just three out of, like, the devil has hundreds of lies that he gives to us. But just try to make this tangible. I'm going to give you three that I see really our young people today are struggling in this area. In these three areas, the devil really hits you on top of. First, the devil gives you lies about yourself. Lies about yourself. He loves to attack your self-worth and who you believe yourself to be. Example. Whenever you start to believe the lie that my worth is determined by, let's say for example, my worth is determined by what so-and-so thinks about me. What my husband thinks about me, what my wife thinks about me, what my boss says about me, what my parents approve of me. When I start to think that my worth is based on what someone else thinks or says about me, that's a lie. When I start to think that my worth is determined by how successful I am at my job or in certain relationships, and I see this a lot of times with moms with kids, that when my kids are like this, that means I'm a good mom, I'm a good person. That's a lie. I know plenty of good moms with bad kids, and I know plenty of bad moms with good kids. If you find yourself always striving to prove yourself, or to find acceptance, or to like achieve a certain status in someone else's eyes, even in your own eyes, the workaholic guy, the overly driven guy, the guy who even when it comes to service and ministry, the guy who's like, let's be honest, forget about this, the priest guy, and this is me, the priest guy who thinks, you know what, in order to be a good priest, be a good servant of God, every single person in this church, every single one of you needs to leave here and say, Bruno Anthony's the best. And I will not stop striving. And if this guy doesn't think, I'll make him convinced I'm the best. And I'm going to visit every person. And I'm going to do this and that. And I'm going to stay at church till midnight. I'm going to stay at church 3 in the morning. I'm going to stay at church 4 in the morning. And I'm going to do this. Why? Lie about myself. They said that my worth is determined by how much other people approve of me. I used to buy into this one all the time. Until God made me realize those people will never approve of you 100%. I started to think and realize that all I'm doing is killing myself for people's approval and not looking for God's approval. So now, with all due respect to each and every single one of you, I don't care what you think about me. I only care what God thinks about me. Some of you approve, that's great. Some of you want to throw stuff at me, throw away, man. I will not buy into this lie. Another lie in this category is the lie of, I am how I am. I am how I am. No, not that one. Sorry. We're still on lies about yourself. Okay. I'll point to you when it's time. Okay. It's okay. I am how I am. I can't change. That's just me. Hey, I just have a temper. That's just how I am. I can't change. I'm just not good at this. That's just how I am. I can never overcome this. I can never solve this. This is just my weakness. Hey, you know the problem with that? The devil can convince you of that. He can make you a very passive person in life. That's just how you are. And there's nothing you can do about it. How about this one? If you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. You heard that lie before? What happens if someone believes the lie of, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me? Then I stand in front of you, and who do I show in front of you? Not me. I put someone else in front of you. I put a mask on in front of you. I put on a front in front of you. Because if you really knew me, you probably wouldn't like me, you wouldn't accept me, so I hide. And I put on this front. And in front of you, I'm smiling, I'm Dan, everything's fine, I'm Dan, but that's not me. I'm telling you, this lie, so many of us are falling to this lie. This is why we have shallow relationships. This is why we become hypocrites. This is why we quit the spiritual walk. Because we are trying to gain approval of someone who can never be, we can never get it from. And we're not seeking approval from God. This is why there's superficiality amongst us. Because we're not being ourselves, because we can't accept ourselves the way we are. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as though it were a lie. Second category. Lies about life and happiness. Lies about why we're here. What will satisfy me? What will make me happy in life? Devil would love to give you lies about money. That money will lead to happiness. Money will lead to security. This promotion, that's all you need, then everything will be fine. Man, come on. How many of us today have more money than at one, like we have a level of financial that at one time we couldn't wait to get to this point, and we're at this point, and we're not satisfied with this point. Who? Every one of us. There was a time when we had nothing, we wanted this. Now we have this, we want that. Doesn't give you security. Devil would love to get you to believe it's in money. It's in materialistic stuff. I'll give you another one. For all the single people. Devil would love to get you to think that the answer to happiness in life is marriage. Married people. Does marriage solve all your problems in life? I didn't say it. I was just asking a question. Single people think marriage solves all their problems. Married people think if they could only be single, that would solve all their problems. Lie from the devil. Tell you one that applies to all of you. You think that life, meaning of life, happiness, peace, joy, you have it figured out. You have a plan in life. And you think, if only I could just achieve my plan. This is my plan, and if I could achieve this plan, I'd have everything I wanted in life. And you have this little plan, and it's a mix of materialistic stuff, spiritual stuff, relational stuff. You mix in all these different stuff, you put together your plan, and it's perfect. And you know exactly how it should go. You know exactly where it should come from. You got it all figured out. And this is the plan. And you bring your plan to God. And because you're a holy person, you fast and pray about your plan. And you got yourself convinced that this plan is the end all be all to life. Your plan stinks. True story. Just 1 month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks or something like that, I was in Mexico. I was in Mexico just for like a 24-hour period. And I was going for some situation. And I remembered, I was there from Friday to Saturday. And I remember being so tired on this trip. Like, there's some times in my life that I remember being tired. Like, I was so tired. I was so sleep deprived on this trip. Unbelievable, in an unbelievable kind of way. I remember the trip was over. Thank God it was a successful trip. Everything went good. I head back to the airport. Saturday, it's like Saturday, probably like 5 or 6. I had to get on a plane, get back to home, arrive at like midnight, and then I got liturgy next morning at like 6 o'clock in the morning, got to prepare 2 sermons. Like this is a really, really tiring time. And all I'm thinking to myself is, it was like a half hour ride from my hotel to the airport. All I'm thinking is, I can't wait just to get in a taxi ride to go to the airport. It wasn't even a taxi, it was like a hotel shuttle. And I'm going to sit, I'm going to sleep. And that half hour is going to be the best half hour of my life. I get on a taxi. Hi, how are you? Fine, thank you very much. How's it going? Very good, thank you very much. I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. And I think I'm making it very clear I do not want to talk. But this guy really wants to talk. Ricardo or Pablo, I don't know what his name was. He really wanted to talk. So I'm like doing my best to be like, what? But the problem is, here's the problem that you don't realize about being a priest, is that everywhere I go, people know I represent God. So, as much as I want to be a jerk sometimes, I just can't. Because the guy knows that I'm a man of God. Of course, this is the first question. The question, everyone's favorite question to ask me is, what are you? So I would respond back, I'm a human, what are you? So I tell the guy, church, Coptic, all of a sudden, Coptic, what's that? You're Coptic, what's that? That's when take time off, there's not going to be any sleep today. So I'm talking to the guy, and I feel like, you know what? Maybe God sent me this guy, and sometimes, you know, you love God, and you why God, but okay, God, okay, I obey. And I'm talking to this guy, and in every one of these conversations, I realize that God is the one who ordains these conversations. Okay, I've been with God enough to know that, like, sometimes he's the one who sets up this divine appointment together. So I'm asking that guy questions, I'm asking about his life, and I'm just waiting to get to, like, an entry point, speak to him about God about. Anyway, we're talking. And he's telling me family, kids, you know, troubles, all this kind of stuff. I asked him a question. I said, hey, Ricardo, what's your dream in life? What's your dream? What do you want? Like, well, what is it you want? You're driving a taxi here. You clearly, this isn't satisfying. Like, what do you want? So he jumped at that. He said, I know exactly what I want. He said, what I want to do, he owned a motorcycle. He told me earlier, is take my motorcycle and drive to Canada. He said he wanted to go to Vancouver. Or what's Vancouver's on the left, right? Yeah. So I was like, what? So I want to get on my motorcycle and ride to Canada. First thing I said is, why do you want to go to Canada? Like, you're in Mexico. Why do you want to go to Canada? And he started telling me how about, like, you know, riding in the wind and the freedom, and no one, you know, can tell me what to do. And I was like, how long does it take you to ride to Canada? Like, a week, 2 weeks? He's like, what, on a motorcycle? 2 months. I'm like, 2 months? That sounds like a horrible way to spend 2 months. In his mind, this was like the solution of life. Freedom, peace, joy, all the kind of stuff. You know what I told the guy? I say this from the bottom of my heart. I don't say it in a mean way or in a rude way. I said, I pray to God you never achieve that goal. You know why? What's going to happen if he achieves that goal? You know what's going to happen? He may commit suicide. And I'm not joking. He may commit suicide. Why? Because he set this as the pinnacle of life. This is the pinnacle of life. Nothing is better than this. What happens if he gets on a stupid little motorcycle and he achieves that? And he's 45 years old and he rides to Vancouver and he finds himself out of gas, out of food, out of money. He already set this as the peak of life. Why should I go on? Why should I go on once I've achieved the peak? What's greater than this? That worst thing that ever happened to that guy, and I pray that God never allows him to fulfill that. I pray that God leaves him empty and hungry until he finds that the motorcycle ain't the solution to life. And for you too, buddy, what you have as your solution to life, that ain't the solution. That's your dumb idea of what it means to be free and to have peace and to have satisfaction, but that ain't it. And that's a lie from the devil, and if you believe that lie, you're going to be messed up. I know you guys aren't football fans here, but there's a guy in the American Football League called Tom Brady. Raise your hand, heard of Tom Brady? Okay, someone heard of Tom Brady. Tom Brady, very successful professional athlete at a young age. Guy won 3 Super Bowls at a very young age, played in the 4th, set records. Guy is extremely, extremely, extremely successful. I heard him one time on 60 Minutes, which is like an interview show. He said something that almost made me cry. The lady asked him, like, you won 3 Super Bowls. At the time, he was going for his 4th. You won 3 Super Bowls. You won 3 Super Bowls. What more can you achieve? Like, she's like, what could be greater than this? Tom Brady looked at her, and he said, you know what? Even when I won 3 Super Bowls, I'm not satisfied. I always want more. I want a 4th. And if I get a 4th, I want a 5th. And of course, in America, we ideal, yeah, that's good, that's determinate, and that's the saddest thing I ever heard in my life. That's the saddest thing I ever heard in my life. The guy said his only goal in life is to get a Super Bowl. And that's like the ultimate end-all be-all for him in life. And then he got it. And he realized it didn't satisfy me. So I need a second one. Then he got a second. Then he got a third. And then he goes third, he gets a fourth. And he goes fourth, he gets a fifth. Why is it that all these athletes who achieve all the status leave professional football or whatever, and their lives fall apart? Because they set for themselves a goal. They achieve the goal. They realize the goal didn't do it for them. It's a lie, man. Third kind of lies we need to recognize, lies about God. Oh, and believe you me, the devil loves to tell you lies about God. And this is the one that to me is the most important one. Because I believe, I read this in a book one time, the most important question in life is, what do you believe about God? And you tell me who your God is, and I will tell you who you will become. Your success in life, more than anything else, is determined by your view of who God is. And if your God is weak, your life will be weak. If your God is powerful, your life will be powerful. Who your God is and your view of God will determine success in your life more than anything else. And the devil would love to misrepresent God and tell you lies about who God is and how God looks at you and deals with you. For example, a lie that we all believe. The more I do, the more God will love me. We all believe that lie. The more I do, the more God will love me, and the more God will bless me. God has blessed me like this, but if I do more, God will bless me more. God will love me more. Listen to this one. Trust me on this one. The devil would love, love, love to convince you that the more you do, the more God loves you. He would love, and he would love to encourage you. Watch this one. Not only he wants you to believe that lie, but if he can get you to believe, the more you do, the more God loves me. You know what he's going to do? He's going to help you to do more. To do more good. Why? Think about it logically. Why does the devil want me to think that I did this good, God loves me more, and the devil's going to help me to do more good? Why? If I can convince you that the more you do, the more God loves you, then one day, I can flip it on you. The day that you didn't do good, the day that you didn't get up to pray. Because if the more you did, the more God loved you, then the less you did, the less God loves you. That's okay. It's okay. You didn't do good today. God loves you a little bit less. That's okay. You'll do better tomorrow. It's okay. Oh, and you did again? No, God, really? Be careful. Be careful of these lies. Satan loves to tell you, you did good, God loves you more today. You did your quiet time, God is really going to bless you today, and you're going to be the most special one today because you did your quiet time. Oh, but you didn't do it the next day? Ooh, watch out. Watch your back. God may punish you. Don't believe the lies. Another lie, God will never do this for me. You know that lie. Like you hear a promise from God. God, okay, gave us this nice promise here, which is for that guy and that guy and that guy, but not for you. This is not for you. That promise is for those guys, not you. You have a very special area, because you know what you did when you were in high school, don't you remember? It's not for you. You can't achieve this. It's not for you. How about the lie that this example is what the spiritual life should look like, and that there's only one way to be close to God, and there's only one way to achieve closeness to God, and if you're not like this person, oh, you must be bad. And I gotta be honest, our culture, we're bad at this. We're bad at this one, because what we'll do is we'll take one example, say everyone has to be like that. No, not everyone has to be like that. And if you got two kids, they don't need to be exactly the same. And in fact, they shouldn't be exactly the same. And maybe God made them to be exactly opposite of one another. So stop trying to make them the same. Stop trying to make them the same as a neighbor's kid. They don't have to be the same. Stop trying to make them the same as me. They don't have to be the same as me. Good God, I hope for your sake they're not the same as me. When you have this lie that we all have to look the same, you'll be a judgmental person, you'll be a critical person, you'll be a hypocrite of a person if you believe this lie. And then the best one of all, what I've done is too bad for God to forgive. I don't think I need to expand on that one. We've all heard that lie about God before. When you believe lies, a lie believed as truth will affect your life as though it were true. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, click there, Peter, if you don't mind, talks in a long list about people. Romans chapter 1 is a long list of people who really messed up in life. Okay, and the Bible exclaims condemnation on them. And it says, what was their fault? It says, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Believe me, the devil is putting lies in your head all the time. And the first step to overcoming them is recognizing how he lies and spotting those lies that he puts inside your head. Now, once we've recognized the lies, step number two is we will resist the enemy's lies. So first we recognize them, and then we resist them. Resist the enemy's lies. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the enemy's lies means that we will, once we've recognized the lies, that he's telling me that I'm not good enough, that I can't do this, he's telling me lies about life, that this is the answer to life, he's telling me lies about God, this is how God looks at you, I recognize those are not true, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm drawing a line right here, I'm looking you straight in the face, and I'm saying, I will not accept this lie. I will not accept this lie. I will not believe what you are telling me. You are all bark, no bite, I will not accept you anymore. And anytime you come and tell me that I'm not good enough for God, I will reject you and say, get behind me, Satan. You are not mindful of the things of God, but mindful of the things of men. We will resist his lies. We will declare war on his lies. We will not accept 1% of his lies inside my head. In Matthew chapter 4, the temptation when Christ was on the mountain, the Bible says that the Satan came to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was tired, when he was hungry. And he said to him, why don't you make some bread out of the stones? You remember that? Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4. Take these stones and make them into bread. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do when Satan came to him? Did he have a conversation with the devil? Did he ask him what he meant? What did he do? He said, back off, buddy! Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Back off! That's what we need to start doing. We don't need to discuss it with the devil. Once we recognize the lie, back off. Especially if we can respond with something from the Word of God, that's great. We back him off. We give him a stiff arm right to the face. We do not have a discussion with him. What did Satan do when Christ did that three times? Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. End of that story says, and the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. You will not defeat the devil. You cannot defeat the devil. But if you resist him, just like you did with Christ, he resisted. Devil left. Same thing for you in life. But you gotta resist. And if you keep on resisting, the devil will flee from you in due time. And the Bible says angels came and ministered to him. So what we need to do, like the title of the handout says, is realize that everything in life that's coming to us is either truth or snare. Everything in life that's coming to you is truth or snare. Every thought that pops in your head, either God is giving you truth or devil is giving you snares. How many of us, ask yourself, are allowing relationships to be destroyed because of lies? Are allowing my spiritual life to be destroyed because of lies? Are allowing my self-esteem to be destroyed because of lies? Are allowing my career, my family, my whatever to be destroyed because of lies that the devil is giving me? We resist the enemy's lies. And then the third step is we start renewing our mind with truth. You renew your mind with truth. We recognize the lie. We see how he fights. We resist them. Devil will flee away. Angels came and ministered. Now we have a little bit of a respite. When we have that respite, what do? Just kick back? No. We never take a break. We never stop. When the devil's fighting, we resist. When he stops for a little bit, what we do is we refresh. We renew. And we renew our mind with truth. Best verse in the Bible, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by, say it with me, the renewing of your mind. Say it like you mean it. Be transformed by? Be transformed by? Listen here carefully, people. You are not transformed by attending meetings in church. You are not transformed by fasting all the fasts of the church. You are not transformed by just attending liturgy and just attending stuff. You are transformed when you allow the Word of God, through all those things, through fasting, through Bible, through meetings, whatever, to transform the way you think. What's another word for transform the way you think? Repentance. When Christ came to preach the gospel, he didn't come and say, everyone come, fast and pray, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, repent. All those things that we do, I'm worried, we were discussing this earlier, that we get so focused on doing outside stuff that we miss the true inside stuff. The only way your life will be transformed is if you renew your mind, which is another way of saying repent. We need to change the way we think about life, about ourselves, about God, and we need to make a long-term commitment to that. Let me give you a little example to show you how repentance, renewing of mind, can transform your life. True story, it's about me. Back when I was in 7th grade, okay, actually starting earlier, back when I was in like 5th grade and 6th grade, I used to play football, okay, American football, with the pads, the hitting each other kind of football. I used to play football, and I played for like the local team, like, you know, I lived in the city of Vienna, so we were the Vienna Jets or whatever it may be. And the way it was set up in my little community is there was 3 teams for every age level. There was an A team and then 2 C teams. A team and 2 C teams. So anyone who signed up is guaranteed a spot on a C team. But then basically at the beginning of the first week, all the kids would be together and it would be like a tryout week. And at the end of that week, they would choose, you know, the 30 or 40 players on the A team, and the rest they just divide up between the 2 C teams. First 2 years I played football, I was on the C teams. Okay, both years, that was fine, whatever, I didn't really care. And then, between 6th grade and 7th grade, something happened. I became friends with a lot of the guys on the A team. Like, I became close to them that summer, and they started telling me, hey, why don't you play on the A team? She said, you know, I don't know why I don't play on the A team. This coach probably has a reason. But they said, hey, you can play on the A team. Like, you play with us. You know what I mean? Like, we play in the backyard, like you're not any lower than us. You know, like, we're about the same athletic level. Said, you want to try for the A team and try to see if you can make it. And that summer, I put in my head, I was just in 7th grade, so it's not like I was, like, pumping iron or taking roids or anything like that. That didn't really change my lifestyle anyway, but I put in my mind that I'm going to play for the A team. And that summer, I put in my mind this, I'm playing the A team. Hey, I'm going to play in the A team. Hey, I'm going to play in the A team. And we went to tryouts. And we had that whole week. And I did it pretty much, I didn't do anything different than normally. The only difference was I put in my head, I'm going to play on the A team. The result? Starting defensive end on the A team for the Vienna Cowboys. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. What was the difference? What difference between those 2 years? What difference between 5th grade, 6th grade, and 7th grade? What difference? Only one difference. Only one difference. I had in my mind, I'm a C player. That summer, I rejected that lie. I'm not a C player. I'm a Class A stud. I accepted that truth. And it transformed my life. Listen, I believe God created you to play for the A team as well. I believe God created you to live an A lifestyle. I believe that God created you to be a starter, an all-star, an MVP on the A team in life. But too many of us believe the lie that we were meant to live on the C team, that we are not good enough to be anything other than on the C team. And too many of us, because of that lie, are living C lives, even though we were created to live A lives. You were made to live an A lifestyle. And everything in the scripture says that you were made to be an A, A, A. But too many of us are believing lies because of that living a C lifestyle. Let me give you a couple verses here. Run through some verses real quick. John chapter 10. This verse, Matthew 9, 29, says that if do you believe that you're going to be a C player or an A player, Matthew 9, 29 says, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith, let it be to you. So if you believe you're a C player, you're a C player. If you believe you're an A player, you can be an A player. Some verses about how God wants us to be on the A team. John chapter 10, verse 10. Thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the bad guy. Me, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. A lifestyle. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also. And in fact, greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That sounds like an A lifestyle to me. That sounds like an A lifestyle to me. The Bible's saying that the life I have, you can live the same life, even greater life. That's A to me. And then the next one, my favorite. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 and 5. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Oh, I love that verse. You have crowned me with glory and honor. That sounds like an A life to me, doesn't it? You want that A life? Do you want that life more abundantly? Do you want that greater works than these you will do? You want that crowned with glory and honor? According to your faith, let it be to you. Believe me, and I say this in all sincerity of heart, I am living proof, me, and I'm not just saying this, believe me, I am living proof that God does great things through not so great people. Every time I go someplace like I'm coming here, I'm amazed when people come and tell me what God does through a very ordinary, and I'm not saying that to be humble, like I'm serious, a very ordinary person. It is amazing to see what God can do through ordinary people who believe that God can do extraordinary things through them. But you must reject the lies that the devil brings you. You must reject the lies. I promise you, they will ensnare you. They will mess you up. Lie. I can never be good at anything. Truth. With God, nothing will be impossible for me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lie. Life is too tough. Life is too tough. Too tough circumstances. I can't take anymore. Lie. Truth. He never gives too much. And if God gives this much trial, God gives this much grace. And where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Lie. I need money. I need physical things for security. I need more. I need more. I need more. Truth. I need more God. Because if I have God, I have everything. And if I don't have God, I have nothing. Lie. I have to do more to be pleasing to God. Truth? Man, God loves you so much just as you are. Man, God loves you so much just as you are. Lie, I am a victim. Truth, in Christ, I am a conqueror. No matter what the world says, I am a conqueror and a victor. Lie, I am worthless. Truth, because God has put his spirit inside me, I have infinite value. I am priceless. Lies put you in bondage, truth sets you free. What I hope everyone here can be committed to tonight is if you want to live a lifestyle of freedom, then you must be committed to rejecting the devil's lies. Sorry, recognizing them, rejecting them, and then renewing your mind with truth. I'll leave you with one verse here from Psalm 124, verse 7. It says, "We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Man, I would love to sing that song one day with King David. Say, I have escaped from the lies about pleasing God. I have escaped from the lies about self-worth. I have escaped from the lies about what it takes to be happy. I have escaped from the lies about the relationships in my life. I have escaped, and I have been set free. I promise you, today God wants to set you free from the snares that have been ensnaring you. You recognize them, you resist them, you renew your mind, and I promise you, just like this bird, God will set you free by His truth. And the Bible says you know the truth will make you free. That verse, believe me, God wants you to live that A lifestyle. Recognize, resist, renew. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Maybe what we can do, I know I'll open up for questions, okay? But maybe what we can do is maybe we can stand for a prayer, okay? While we have like the Spirit here with us, we'll stand for a prayer, and then we'll do questions after that. And anyone who doesn't want to stay for questions is welcome to leave after that. Is that okay?